to happen, why it needs to happen. And as I say, in all of that, you find the idea of some great Bible doctrines. Great Bible doctrines. As a matter of fact, he has been talking about those things. And tonight we're just going to call this the truth in grace. And that's the great subject of this little short space of four verses. Look down in verse number 11 and notice what Paul says. He says, as he's been talking in the first 10 verses, he's been talking about how that Titus is to teach some things and, you know, stand with the sound doctrinal issues to the aged men, to the aged women, to the young women, to the young men, and to those that are servants or slaves. He's talked about, you know, everybody's duties and responsibilities in that. And then he gets into verse number 11 and he says this. He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the Word of God, for all the things that you are showing us and all the things that you are giving us in the Word. And I pray that you'd help us to see the goodness of God, help us to see all about your grace and your mercy, all about how you loved us and gave your Son for us, and you redeemed us and you saved us from the pit and you brought us to where we're made the sons of God. Thank you for every bit of that. I pray now, God, just deal with us as we study this tonight. We'll thank you for it and we'll give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at these few verses with me, if you will, unless as I say, maybe get no more than verse number 11, where we'll talk about, first of all, in this little section here, we're going to talk about the revelation of grace, the education of grace, and then the observation of grace. We're going to talk about those three thoughts, but like I say, we may not get any further than the very first part of this and talk about revelation of grace. The revelation of grace. Look here in verse number 11 and notice what Paul says. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Boy, that's a real succinct and real compacted statement, but man, it's really got some real truth and some real understanding for me and you in it, if we can. As you dig it out and you get to understand what Paul is saying here, he's saying, look, he's been telling the young preacher Titus here about what he's wanting him to say, and as he's doing this, he has said, look, here's the doctrine. Give them some sound doctrine and tell them this is how that we expect them to be. I mean, this is what the Bible tells us, you know, and I think you and I have forgotten those facts in these days. I mean, Paul here says, look, here's how people should live. And you know what? We've forgotten that today. We have absolutely got away from the place where people are supposed to live in a godly way. But it hasn't escaped the words of the Bible. It's still written here. You see what he says? He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And then notice in verse 3, he said, it's taught us something. There's an education that we get. We'll look at that from the Word of God. He said, it taught us denying ungodliness, worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen? I mean, that's what God is telling us. This is how right folks, godly folks, saved folks, how they're supposed to live. He gives us all of that information. I want to tell you, here in verse number 11, he's talking about the grace of God. The grace of God. One of the greatest subjects that you'll ever discuss, preach about, or teach over, even just sit down and talk about is the amazing grace of God. I mean, there's nothing any more fascinating, there's nothing any more deep than when you begin to talk about the grace of God. Can I tell you this? For me and you that are saved, and as we're saved, our whole story is a story of God's grace. The entire story of your life is a story about the grace of God. You know why? Because when you got saved, it was grace that saved you. And when you go out of this place, it'll be grace that takes you home. And all the days in between the beginning and the end is all filled with the grace of God. Every day that you and I live, we are living by and in the grace of God. I mean, that's just where we are. We're starting it with grace. We're going to end it with grace. And grace, God gave grace as the provision for our salvation. And then it becomes a daily reminder for us of how we are to live in this old sinful world by the grace of God. Amen? I mean, how many times do you hear people using that little phrase? They say, well, you know, you see somebody that's all in a bad way, and maybe they're a drunk on the street, and somebody say, but for the grace of God, that could be me. Well, what are you talking about? I'm saying it's grace every day that keeps me and you from falling into that situation. But I'm glad to tell you this, grace can deliver that person that's there, can deliver them from that situation. Amen? Because, hey, Paul said that God's grace is able to save unto the uttermost. Amen? God's able to save. Mays Jackson used to say it this way, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen? I mean, God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime, and it's still all done by that amazing grace of God. It's all done by the grace of God. So our story is the story of grace. But I want you to notice this, if you will. One real important word in this whole little section here is verse number 11, the very first word. Paul says, for. Now, why did he put that word for in there? Well, that word for is indicating that I'm about to explain something that I just said. It's what Paul is saying. For the grace of God. What he is saying is, I have told you all of these things about these sound doctrinal things you're supposed to deliver. And tell these men and tell these women and tell these young folks and tell these that are servants, tell them the things you tell them. Because the grace of God, amen, because the grace of God is in their lives. He's saying, look, this whole thing is predicated upon the fact and the idea and the thought that the grace of God has done something in my life and in your life that wasn't there before. Amen? So what he's beginning to say, and he's going to say, as I say much on in verse 12, he said, the grace of God is why you and I should live and be, act, and behave the way that we should. Amen? It's because of the grace of God. God's done something for you, and he has so worked in your life that it should do something, not just God's done something for you, it should do something to you. Amen? It ought to make you act different than you did. So he is saying, look, this is a word of explanation. I mean, you've got the practical Christian doctrine, but it will lead me and you and transform us in our Christian character. It is these words. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. Tell them these things. And then because of doctrine, it's got to cross over into your everyday living. Like I said before, last time when we were looking at these verses before this, it should show up in your shoe leather, okay? It should show up in the way that you and I live. And usually you'll see that. Paul, in his writings, he will come at most of his writings, he'll come at the idea of the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine. The doctrine of the gospel, the doctrinal things. And then he always shifts over and says, but you know what? It's not just something that's written in I tell you? It's the grace of God, folks. It's the grace of God that lets me and you live and do the things that we do. Amen? So let's see what Paul says here as he talks about the revelation of God's grace. The revelation. First of all, don't you realize that grace that Paul is talking about is a sovereign grace? You see what he says? He said, for the grace of God. I'm not talking about just some old grace that people around this world will throw and say, oh, well, you know, so-and-so's being gracious or they've shown some grace. Well, no, this is the grace of God. This is not the grace of some man. This is not the grace of some group. This is not the grace of some benevolent person. This is the grace of the great God of heaven. Amen? I mean, you got to think about this. This is God's grace. This is not the grace that we say, well, okay, I'm going to give you a little more time to pay that debt. Can I tell you, God went ahead and said, you know what? I'm going to pay the debt for you. You can't pay it. You don't have the ability. You're not even ever going to be able to. Amen? But you know what? He says, I'm going to do it for you. Why? Just because I love you. That's the pure grace of God. That's the kind of grace you and I have got. It's a grace that we can't even understand. I mean, everything that we have in this life, in this Christian life, it is purely the work of God. I mean, you got to get this down. You don't have anything to do with this. We was watching, me and her watching a preacher here over the weekend, and this preacher, young preacher, man, he is fired up. I mean, and the service, they were people standing up testifying, and it just got on him. He couldn't handle it. He said, can I tell y'all something? He said, you ain't done nothing to deserve the goodness of God. You know, you ain't done that. You and I have not done one single solitary thing to deserve the goodness that God put in you and me. We belong in hell. We deserve hell. We don't deserve anything. But isn't God good to us to give us his grace? Isn't God good? Boy, I mean, everything that you and I understand, everything that you and I can sit and read, I mean, it is the grace of God. I mean, here Paul says he brought salvation. He has made that salvation appear to every man. Now, that doesn't mean every man has received it, but God has certainly brought it here and let it show up. And I'm just telling you, hey, this is from God. This is from God. God saw that we were miserable. God saw that we were sinners. God saw that we couldn't. God saw that there was no way for us, as the songwriter said, that there was a bridge, a gap between us and God, and there was no way I could get to him. But, hey, what did Squire Parson say? He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. I couldn't get there. David said, I was in a horrible pit, and I couldn't do it. And I cried out, and he heard me, and he came down to where I was. Amen? That's grace, folks. You had no way of escaping your misery. You had no way of escaping your sin. You had no way out. But the grace of God came to where you were. Amen. Same Paul wrote there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith, for his great love, where he loved us, he saved. For by grace are you saved, he said. It's not anything you did. It's not anything I did. We are simply falling upon the grace of a great God. So I want you to understand this is a sovereign grace because it is the grace of God. Oh, men may extend you, as I say, from time to time some mercies and some grace and some good things. But I'm telling you, nobody's done for you what God has. Amen. Nobody's extended grace to you like God. I'm telling you, what did Paul say over in the book of Romans? It said that, you know, some folks would dare to die even for some folks that they know and some that they love. He said, but God, he said, he sent Jesus to die for us. the perfect darling Son of God, died when you was rotten, stinking, miserable, and ought to be in hell. He sent him to die for me and for you. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. So, don't you understand, in this, as this grace is revealed, it is a sovereign grace. Second of all, don't you realize it is a saving grace? Thank God for that. Aren't you glad it's a saving grace? For the grace of God, he said, that bringeth salvation. Thank God for saving grace. As I've said earlier, I couldn't do it myself. I know a lot of folks that'd like to try. I know a lot of folks, and I've been one in time past. Oh, I'm going to do better. God, I'm going to quit this. I'm going to stop doing that. And I'm going to turn over a new leaf tomorrow. I'm going to be a different person. Can I tell you, that stinks in the nostrils of God. Hey, it took him to save us. Amen. His grace is a saving grace. As I said over in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, Paul talks about how that you're saved by grace, amen, through faith, and that not of yourself. He said it's not of works. You can't do anything, amen, of yourself or through yourself or by yourself. Oh, preacher, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. You don't have the ability to get yourself into the presence of God in heaven by whatever you do. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Amen? I think I heard Adrian Rogers say this years ago. He said, my best 5 minutes of my life are not enough to get me into heaven. The very best that I can do still does not warrant God letting me into the goodness. There is no goodness. There is nothing within me. You remember when the young man came to Jesus and he came and he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? He said, there is none good but God only. You know, you don't have any goodness. I don't have any goodness. Nobody in this room's got any goodness. Not a one of us have our own goodness about it. The only goodness I ever get, the only righteousness that I'll ever have is because it has been imputed, it has been given to me because of the darling Son of God. Amen? So this is a saving grace. This is a grace that brings salvation, is what Paul said. It is this that speaks of Jesus and his salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Hey, let me just tell you, this is God's grace, but it came in the person of Jesus Christ himself. It talks about his name, his work, and the very person of our Lord Jesus himself. Look back in the Gospel of John, if you will, or you can just sit there and listen to me read it. In John chapter number 1, as John is introducing us to Jesus and the things about Jesus, look what he says in verse number 14 of John 1. He said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Listen to what John said. Now this is John's personal testimony. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? Do you see that Jesus is the one that is full of grace and he's full of truth? You and I don't have a clue. Amen? You and I don't have a leg to stand on. You and I don't have anything. Hey, John said, I saw him. I saw him. As a matter of fact, he's not the only one that said that. Peter writes in his writings, Peter says that he saw that glory. He said, we went up on the mountain with him. And while he was there, that he was transfigured. And we saw the glory of that grace of God. Hey, can I tell you, praise God for his grace. Praise God for his grace. As a matter of fact, here, just read on a little bit further, if you will, in John chapter number 1. Let me flip back over there and John is expounding, and if you will, extending that idea. He said that he dwelt among us. He's full of grace and truth. He said, and John bare witness of him, verse 15, and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Listen, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace
for grace. We can only receive the grace of God. There's no other grace that does anything for us. This is the saving grace of God that comes through Jesus our Savior. Amen? But I want you to see this. He says it is a saving grace. I want you to notice it is a showing grace. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, there's some folks will begin to read that and they'll begin to say, oh, preacher, that verse right there proves universalism. The idea that everybody is going to heaven. The Bible said it right there. It said salvation has appeared to all men. Well, as I said earlier, yeah, it came down and God revealed His glory. God revealed His grace. God has shown His grace to all men. But I want to tell you something. There's a receiving you got to do to have that grace. I mean, this just isn't, it don't matter how you live and what you do. God may send you to hell for a while and burn some dross out of you and change some things in your life. But everybody is going to go to heaven. That's a bunch of hogwash. Amen? I'm just here to tell you, that ain't right thinking. That ain't right doctrine. That ain't right Bible. I'm telling you, you and I understand that it's the grace of God that saves us. We're saved by His grace. And that grace is, it is for all men, but it's not received by every man. There's folks tonight, they need the grace of God. And really, I'll just tell you this, I think a lot of folks are living there on the grace of God, but they don't understand it, they really hadn't received it. But I'm telling you, God's still good to them to even let them be alive tonight. There's a lot of folks walking around, and I'm telling you, I was there in my life, and you were too. We didn't deserve the goodness. We didn't deserve the mercies. We didn't deserve the blessing. We did not deserve anything that God really extended and gave to us. But God, in His great love, mercy, and grace, He looked down on us, and He said, I love you enough. Can you believe that? That God loved me and you enough that He would... Somebody said, you ain't got enough dummy about you for God's grace not to overcome that. I can't mess up my life enough for God's grace not to overcome it. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm not saying God's pleased with it when we do stupid stuff. Amen? Somebody asked me that one time. People always ask you questions, you know, what ifs? What if, blah, 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 blah. My answer to them like this is, let me just tell you, saved people sometimes do stupid stuff. Amen? If you're saved, you ever done something dumb? Oh, I have. I ought not do this, but I'm going to. Well, thank you, Cletus. Go ahead. Amen? I mean, that's about the way it is. We're about that dumb, aren't we? I mean, you know, we sit there and we say, well, I know better. I know better. I know this ain't right. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know. Listen, hey, go ahead, friend. Hey, just admit you can be wrong, but it's God's grace that's able to do something in our lives. And it takes the grace of God. He has appeared. Listen, think about this. God's grace has always been in heaven. It's always been available there. God's grace has been in heaven. And then one day, God revealed that grace and sent it down here for us. It's not just, He says God's grace has appeared to all men. The grace of God has appeared to all men. Jesus came and appeared to all men. Now, I just read that to you there in John chapter number 1 and verse number 14. John said, we beheld His glory. We saw Him. We saw Him as He really was. You know, the other night we're talking about there in John chapter number 1, how that Andrew and John came to Jesus. And John the Baptist had told him, said, right there's the guy that you need to see. That's the man. That's the one that I've been preaching about. That's the one I've been telling y'all about. And they went and they began to ask Him. They said, where dwellest thou? And that wasn't just a
where do you live? We're not doing the census, but where do you live? They wanted to go and spend some personal time with the Lord Jesus. And when they went and spent time with him, they forgot about John. They dropped everything else, and they began to follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because he embodied the grace of God. When they saw him, I'm just telling you, friend, when you and I look at him, when we see him, Jesus is the grace of God in the flesh. I mean, listen, look over again. You know, I mentioned there's some other verses in Titus. Look over in Titus chapter 3 and listen to what Paul says again in verse number 4. He said, he talks about in the first few verses, you know, about verse number 3, about sometimes we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. He said, that's what we used to be. But look what he said in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The saving grace of God saved me and you from what we used to be. Amen? As I said, the very, very same thing, the very same type statement Paul makes over in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2. He talks about how that what we used to be. Amen. I'll just go over there and read it. Let's look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. Paul said that, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Listen to what he said you were. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You and I used to run the roads of this world. You and I used to be hooked up with the devil. I mean, with all of his wickedness, all of the ungodliness. That's where we used to ride, buddy. That's where we used to live. He said that we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who we were. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. Every one of us in this room, at some time in our life, we lived and had our conversation. That means our daily walk, our daily life was in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You ever look at people sometime and say, man, look at them. Well, don't they realize what kind of sin they're in? They're like you. You didn't realize it. You didn't know it. You had no idea. I mean, hey, maybe some people do. Maybe some people do. But can I tell you that? That's when that good old Holy Ghost conviction begins to kick in. Amen? You remember that? I remember going to church and listening to them old leather lung preachers get up. They'd begin to preach, tell me how rotten I was. And I'd sit there and I'd try to smile. I'd try to shine on my halo. I'd try to say, well, everybody around here thinks I'm a good kid. They think I'm a good guy. They think I'm okay. Hey, well, the preacher, just, you know, tone that down a little bit. Don't let everybody. But he'd begin to preach. He'd tell everybody. He'd tell me. And the Holy Ghost would pile it on me. Amen. Like the old preacher said, the hound dogs of heaven got on my trail. I mean, them Holy Ghost hound dogs, they got on my trail. They began to bark. Every time I went somewhere, God said, you're lost. Every time I turned around, there was fear in my heart that I'd die and go to hell. Every time I'd lay down to bed, I'd say, oh, Lord, I pray I can wake up in the morning. Hey, I began to worry about those things. You know why? That's conviction. I was lost, and I needed to get saved. Oh, I tried to roll it off. I tried to push it off. Every one of us lived there in our lives. And some of you, I don't know, you may still be there. Can I tell you, when God begins to deal with you like that, you know what you need to do? Just get right with God. Amen? Boy, I mean, I was kind of like some of these other folks. I heard a fella say this the other day, talking about when he'd go to bed, he'd get up in the morning, he'd make sure his brother was safe, he'd make sure his brother was in the bed over there. And they lived in the same room. He'd make sure he's okay over there. He'd go in there and make sure mom and daddy was still okay.
Because he knew, but he knew, he'd heard that old preacher say, Jesus is coming, and if you ain't right, you ain't going. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, I heard the same thing. And there's a lot of nights I was in there listening to see if I could hear mom and daddy talking, because I'd begin to get worried. Amen. You know, it ought to worry you. If you're not right, it ought to begin to eat at the very depths of your old rotten, stinking soul. You need to get right with God. Amen? And boy, I'm telling you, that's what Paul says here. All of us had been there, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. We lived in the lust of our flesh, fulfilled the desires of our little rotten minds, and we were by nature, our very nature, we were the children of wrath. In other words, God's wrath is about to get poured out on somebody, and we were the children that deserved all of the wrath of God. Amen? But aren't you glad for that next verse where Paul says this, as I've said earlier, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, that he said, he with his great love, he loved us. Even when we're dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. And he's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means one of these days, you and me is going to stand there in heaven before God, and we're going to be on display before everything there is that God has in heaven, and he's going to show up, and he's going to say, hey, angels, hey, everything else created, look at the trophies of my grace. These trophies are here not because of what they did, but because of what Jesus did. And he forgave them and he saved them. And they stand here as a trophy of the grace of God. Amen? Do you know that's what you are today? If you're saying, you're just a trophy of that grace. You didn't do it. You didn't do nothing to deserve. You didn't do a thing. Thank God you're a trophy towards the grace of God. God said, I loved them. I sent my son. He died for them. And I saved them. And could, the angels could have said, but like they did, what is man? What is man that you're even thinking about him? And God said, I just love him. I just love him. Isn't it amazing how God's love comes down at this point? And you and I don't even understand it. But listen. Listen to what great Vance Havner, the old preacher, said about grace. He said, you can take those letters of that word grace and make you a little acrostic out of them. The first letter, G, stands for the gift of grace. He said, that is the principle of God's grace. It's a gift. It's not anything you deserve, not anything you work for, not anything you could have ever earned. It's the gift of God. Amen? The gift. That's the principle of grace. He said that R stands for the redemption that comes from your grace. It is the purpose of God's grace. God's grace has a purpose, and its purpose is to redeem lost sinners. Amen? A fellow wrote that song, said, I'm so glad that God still saves old sinners. Amen? Aren't you glad? He's still in the redeeming business. R is for redemption. A is for access. It is the privilege of this grace. Because of the grace of God, you and I can come into the very presence of God. You don't deserve that. You didn't do anything to come before a holy and a righteous God. But because of his grace, you and I can go before the throne room in heaven and ask God for his favor, and he shines upon me and you. Amen? Isn't that amazing? You've got an access to the God of glory. The C, he says, stands for the character. The character of a Christian, he says, that is the product of this grace. Do you know that when grace comes into your life, it will change your character? Oh, it'll take those old drunks and it'll turn them into preachers and Sunday school teachers and singers and folks that want to live and love God. It'll change your character.
It'll change you from what you used to be. Paul said, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He said, all the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Thank God. Hey, he changes your character. As I said, you ever seen folks say that? They say, well, you know so-and-so. Well, he says he's a Christian, but I remember when he used to. Can I tell you, God don't remember when you used to. Amen? Why? Because he forgave you. Now, somebody said, well, does God just lose his mind? No, he chooses to forget those things. He says, I've taken your sins and I put them behind my back. I've put them in a big bag and I've tied them up and I've thrown them into the depths of the deepest part of the ocean. I have taken your sins and separated them as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't remember our sin anymore. How come? By the grace of God. He changes your character. I mean, listen, sometimes you won't know about a person being saved. I've seen some people, hey, if you got that same character you had when you come down to that altar and repented and prayed, you get up and you're doing the same stuff, hey, I'd check up. Amen. Because I'm telling you, when God does something, he does it right, and he does it in a man's heart, and he changes his character. So the C is for character. The E is for eternal life. The eternal life, character is the product of grace. But the E, eternal life, that is the prospect of grace. One of these days, we're going to leave. One of these days, I'm going home. Amen. Oh, one of these days, I'm taking off out of this world. Amen. The old songwriter said, I'll never die, just be promoted. Amen. I'm a getting out of here. I'm a running away from this world. I'm like the other songwriter said, goodbye, world, goodbye. I'm a leaving out of here. I'm headed for heaven because that's the prospect of the grace of God. He said it brings salvation. Amen. He has brought salvation, and that salvation has come, as I said, through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. William MacDonald said this. He was preaching out of the book of James. And if you want to flip over just a few chapters in your Bible past Hebrews and go to James chapter number 4 and listen to what James says there in chapter number 4. He is writing, talking about, you know, the wars and fightings and all that stuff among each other. But look what he says in verse number 6. He said, but he, and he's talking about God, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. William MacDonald said this while he was preaching on that. He said, think of it. Think about that little passage there. The mighty God that is opposed to our pride and determined to break it. Can I tell you that's true? God hates pride. God hates your pride. Do you see what he said there? He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud. The mighty God of heaven, he said, that is opposed to us having our pride and determined to break it. But listen, he said, contrasted with the mighty God that is powerless to resist a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, it's the same powerful God, but when you come to him in your pride, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. When you come before him broken, when you come before him as a contrited, weeping, broken heart, hey, when you come, God says, come on in. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to take you. Amen. Just like you are. Amen. You remember what the Bible tells you? There was that lady taken in the act of adultery. She comes. She is brought in by that crowd of the Pharisees, the religious men. And they look at Jesus and they say, Jesus, the law says she ought to be stoned. What sayest thou? What do you got to say about it? And Jesus just simply knelt down and he began to write some things, you know, in the dirt. And as he did that, hey, he looked up at them and he said, the first one of you that doesn't have any sin. Now, I'll tell you something. The law did say, stone her. That's what the law said. But aren't you glad that grace stepped in
And Jesus said, one of you ain't got any sin. You ain't done nothing wrong. You go ahead and start throwing rocks. Amen? I mean, I thought about this for a long time. I'm going to preach a message one time. I'm going to put your rock back in your pocket. Put your rock back. You can't throw a stone. You can't make a judgment. You can't condemn somebody else because you're just as rotten as they are. You've done something, amen, in your life. It might be steal a cookie, but you've done it. Amen? Hey, and Jesus, you know the story, he knelt back down, and it said as each one of them fellows began to leave from the oldest down to the young, they all departed. Jesus lifted himself up and looked at that woman. He said, woman, where are those unaccused? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. There's a lot of folks, there are some religions that say, we better knock that first part of chapter number 8 out of the book of John because, boy, that ain't good. That ain't good doctrine. Yeah, it is good doctrine. I'm telling you, it's the doctrine of grace. It's the doctrine of grace. They said, well, Jesus shouldn't have done that. That might not even be true. Yeah, it's a true story. I believe it is. You know why? Because Jesus said he didn't come to condemn. And Jesus told us that in some other places. He didn't come to condemn the world. Can I tell you, John 3:18 says the world's condemned already. I mean, after John 3:16, he said he came to save. He said, but if you don't believe in him, you're condemned already. Jesus didn't have to condemn her. She's condemned already. He didn't come to condemn her. He came to save her. Amen? How's he going to do that? By grace. He's going to save her by his grace. So I'm telling you, the God of all heaven, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. I'm glad tonight that Jesus continues to give grace into our lives and into our need. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's a sovereign grace. It's a saving grace. And it is a grace, certainly, that is showing itself. Aren't you glad God's grace showed up in your life? Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready. We'll go this far tonight. But the grace of God has showed up. It has appeared to all men. That word appeared.